This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. Again, be careful in the Twitter streets. It may have been duped. We do know this. Brandon Ayuk, he's at 49er practice today in shorts and a t-shirt. Of course, the 49ers would like to keep him with that window. And Pittsburgh Steelers are the other team in the mix. If we see any news breaking on that, we'll let you know. Of course, the breaking news to start the program happened right about an hour before we started up here on Sharp Money, and that is J.J. McCarthy done for the year with the torn meniscus. So he's going to have the surgery and have that repaired. We are on the Colorado Rockies Diamondbacks over 9. A 3-0 bottom one, got runners on first and second, so we could get more here. Also, quickly, we are betting race number 6. 1 minute to post. I'm on the 5, Aniskal. Aaron Halterman's on the 1, Kara's Dream Weaver. Okay. We welcome you back here. Dustin Sweetelson at the D, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. We welcome in Mike Palm, Circa, the D, and Golden Gate Casino VP of Ops, VSiN host, at Mike Palm Circa on Twitter. Mr. Palm, how are you today?
Good afternoon, Dustin. Good afternoon, Patrick. Look, we've got to get FanDuel TV on here if we're going to be sweating out horse races. We got to get some content management at this bar, Canada.
Let's go. It's okay. We got it on the app here. Mike, how you doing?
Good. I think we had a great week last week with Bet Bash. I thought the panels were terrific, the seminars, the networking events. They had the golf outing. They had a poker tournament over at the Golden Nugget. And then we did the Hall of Fame banquet on Friday night. I think everything was terrific. I really do. I got away, had a late night Friday night, went up to Legacy with the boys after the banquet, did Lombardi Line with Femi, and then I took off for Laughlin for the weekend. And my wife's best friend was having her birthday party down there, and she brought all her nieces and nephews. So we brought the kids down, spent a couple of days in Laughlin. So it was overall, it was a great week, Patrick.
Is there a truth to the rumor that Bill AD is actually checking IDs at Legacy Club?
He has his own stool. It's been engraved. It says Bill 80, as his Twitter moniker is. Now that he has a home outside of property, he probably spends less than 20 hours a week there. Before, okay, it would have been over.
I will say this, though. I don't go that often, but if I do go out, I end up there. Let's say I go to Legacy Club 10 times in the next, I don't know, 6 months. Mm-hmm. 8 of those times, Bill will be there.
Over. I go over. Yeah, but I got to put the hook on the 8.
You call what Bill lives in a home? In England, they call those palaces.
Castles. Estates. That's Southwest term, estate. He lives downtown, actually. Not downtown, but near here. Right. Yeah, near here in one of those old-style mansions or whatever, however you want to say it.
Yeah, good for him. I'm sure there won't be any upkeep. I'm winking at Bill. Bet Bash, so what were some of the takeaways? What was something that kind of, as far as a panel, does one stand out to you?
I thought the panel that had Richie Bacciolari and Nick Bogdanovich, both from Circa, telling story, and Vinny, telling stories about all their days in the bookmaking industry, certainly was one of the most entertaining. There were some good content-specific ones. College football, they had a panel. There was the women in sports betting panel that I attended. I got to see about the first 40 minutes of that, and then I had a meeting. But Kenny White's daughter was on it. Taylor Mathis was on the panel as well. She did a 30 minutes with Femi and I on Friday on Lombardi Line.
That's a big get.
Before, she did the panel a little bit later in the afternoon. Amber Dixon, in fact, moderated that panel. For those of you that are longtime VSiN listeners, you might remember Amber Dixon from 5 or 6 years ago when she used to come on Saturday and Sunday mornings and give the updates. Some of them were weather, some of them were injury related. That's back when Dave Farah was hosting on the weekends. I'm going way, way back.
Yeah, that sounds like quite a crew. The Hall of Fame inductions. Who was inducted, and maybe you can give us a little background.
Well, there were 10 people altogether.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it was 10. I'm sorry.
Yeah, inducted. That's the maximum that can be inducted, and that's what they've done the first 2 years. Now, I heard from several committee members that are the voters that they might want to slow that down and maybe do 6 next year. There's a formula of 1-to-1 to living and deceased, how they put them in. It was interesting because I thought of as an overall theme, it was the marriage of the regulated industry and offshore. Because Ron Sacco was the final inductee. Of course, Ron Sacco, very famously, illegal bookmaker here in the U.S., San Francisco. Then he moved his operation to L.A. Then he moved to Vegas. Then he moved to the Dominican, you know, and then he founded Gris. So he's been offshore for a long time. He did some time in prison. But I have to tell you, at the start of his speech, he said, I want to say one serious thing. I wanted to acknowledge that Derek Stevens is doing things the right way. And
nice.
I said to Derek, here's a whole new marketing campaign born. Derek Stevens, Circa Sports, endorsed by offshore. I mean, we could we could run with this.
Yeah, that is interesting, to say the least. That's pretty cool. Now, Mike, I don't know if you've heard, but I'm starting another wing of the Sports Betting Hall of Fame in Hermosa.
Yeah.
And you're on the short ballot.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in the next segment. That was a great question. After your McCarthy great question got scratched out by the news today. But that... It made me think that's probably the question I spent the most time on, Patrick, honestly.
Yeah, I'm curious.
It's tough. Three is tough.
We'll get to that coming up in Palm versus the Big Guy. Certainly controversial last week. Circa Millions.
Well, can I say so? I mean, this.
Yeah. Please.
So I was listening after I left. I mean, you two guys grilled poor Thomas Gable to try to reconsider his votes. I mean, good for Thomas. Yeah. He stuck by his guns. But, I mean, the argument of style over substance, he didn't buy it.
No, I was looking into whether the systems were working or not and demanding governors recount the votes.
Yeah. It was something.
It was quite a day. And Thomas Gable, who was talking trash about Mike, not necessarily talking trash about Palm, but came in and he literally said he swept the board. So it was a shock.
Well, the big bone of contention you had was the best baseball team. But he had on his short list those late 80 A's, where Dustin had the 2004 Red Sox. I will agree that Dustin probably delivered his answer better.
Ooh.
But the problem was Thomas had the list and had already formed his answer. So he had that bias. Confirmation bias that worked in my favor.
Bias judge, no longer care for his opinion. Back on Patrick.
But the gentleman with the concession, that was a good job by Mike Palm. How about a quick update on Millions and Survivor? Are we ahead of the projections, right on the projections?
Yeah, Millions is gaining steam. So total combined, we just crossed 6 million today, which is a little bit sobering in the fact that we've got 10 million to go in like, what, 45 days? Or like, what is it? What's left, 30 days? I mean, it's like 400. We have to do 400 and some thousand a day in entries, so over 400 between the two. Survivor's still chugging along 20% higher than last year. Millions is flat or a little bit down. I really do believe it'll be lower than the 5.3. It'll come in at around 5. That means Derek kicks in a little extra to get it up to 6. I'm pretty comfortable to say I think Survivor will get to 11. Others have said 12. I'm not sure. I'll stick by my original prediction before we started signups of 11-7. But I'm fairly confident we'll get to at least 11.
21 days, 10 hours, 51 minutes, 7 seconds.
What's more than that? We got till the what? Till
NFL kickoff?
Yeah, but you can get up till Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Right? That's the Thursday night game.
Thursday.
But you can sign up. You get two more days, so 23 days and change. Because you can sign up till 2 o'clock on Saturday.
Also wanted to congratulate Circa. Open a new sports book at the Mint Gambling Hall at Kentucky Downs. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's a temporary book there. But it looks terrific. It looks like the ones that we have, you know, around town. Silverton, Tuscany, the Pass and Henderson. The permanent book, we were just talking about projections on when that'll open. It's probably, we had hope for Super Bowl, no shot March Madness. We're looking at earliest maybe June 1st next year. So for all those Cincinnati Reds fans that live in the state of Kentucky, they're making a little bit of a run here, but we'll be open baseball season next year.
The Pass and Henderson, you just gave me a flashback. Those were my stomping grounds.
Patrick!
What?
You won the
Your
race?
Your horse won.
Oh. I know. The five. I wasn't going to say anything because my good buddy Aaron Halterman, his horse, the one horse in race six at Saratoga, came in third. But it was an easy hold them up. Win for your boy in the five.
Just sitting here watching Corbin Carroll end the inning, bases loaded, grounding out. I'm a little butthurt about it. Then I look and get an alert from my app. Your ticket won. I go, what ticket won? Oh, the horse race.
There you go, big guy.
Let's go.
Now,
what price?
I will say
it. What price is what I always ask Mike Somich.
It wasn't a great price.
What price, Mike Somich?
It was like 2-1.
That's all right.
No, it's a terrible price.
You could have wheeled in the trifecta with his horse second and third.
I will say I do feel a little nervous about what's to come because I'm on my own here. And look, it wasn't so much that Palma's very consistent, has been consistent. I just thought Dustin, he had a certain je ne sais quoi about him. Like his delivery was on point last week. And I have to grade. See, Gable was coming from, oh, I like the A's too.
Yeah,
that's not the whole picture. You understand what I'm saying? It's it's also about delivery, which you guys are both phenomenal at. But Dustin, I thought, had a good delivery.
Easy on me now because you feel bad because I lost last week. No makeup calls.
Well, look at the record. Have I been easy on you?
No, I'm calling it up now. I mean, it's like 11. It's 11-5-2.
11-5-2. Right now, Mike Palm is the champ of Palm versus the big guy. Will that continue? We're going to find out next. We've got some good ones for the boys today. It's Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The great Mike Palm is here. Palm versus the big guy, 11-5-2. Advantage Palm. You know how it works. 30-second shot clock. We asked the boys questions. The coin toss went to Palm. Mike, 8.5 win total on the Bears. Your life's on the line. You going over or under?
I'm going to go over, Patrick. I think Caleb Williams has the best quarterback to come along since Patrick Mahomes. We didn't get a lot of chance at USC to see him play within system because I don't think the coaching staff did a great job there. And when he got out of system, you saw when he struggled in games like Notre Dame. You give him all the tools around him, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, swift catching passes out of the backfield. You've got a defense that was the best rush defense in the NFL last year and a top 10 defense. And the good news is you don't have to play a division game till week 11, over 8.5.
Yeah, I think the cool kids in the streets want to go under, but it's an over with my life on the line. I want to back special if it's life or death. Caleb Williams is special, and I'm not sure he has to do that much out of the gate with this team because the defense is going to be awesome right away. I think the defense will carry it, allow them to get him acclimated and up to speed. If he just kind of manages things, 7-8 wins is easy. If he ends up getting to open up the offense, he's special. He's silky smooth in the preseason so far. They'll go over.
Dustin, I've got COVID. Recommend one series and one movie.
So this is easy because you feel gross, right? You don't feel good. You should use something you watch to make you feel good. So I would say, do you like laughter? Do you like life lessons? Do you like well-written characters? Do you like teamwork, leadership, deep topics? And I know you like soccer, so I don't have to ask about that. The only answer right now to make you feel better is to watch Ted Lasso.
Okay, Mike Palm.
All right, Patrick, I went with and it's a two-part question, I believe. I went for a series, The West Wing. All right? Go back and watch The West Wing and the character development, the use of topics. It's also a hell of a funny series as well. Like the humor is underrated there. 1996 to 2006 on NBC. And then for a movie, I said Crash. With that ensemble cast from 2004, Ludacris, Sandra Bullock, Don Cheadle, Thandi Newton, it'll make you question all of the beliefs that you hold and will keep you thinking while you're in your convalescence.
Love it. Circa Survivor or Circa Millions. Give me one piece of advice or strategy you would give to a newbie. Mike Palm.
So for Circa Survivor, I would stick with the rule, do not play division games. I think familiarity lessens variance in games in terms of talent. And in Survivor, you're trying to avoid landmines. Division games can be landmines because these teams play each other at least twice every year. They know each other's flaws. They know each other's strengths. As a rule, before not playing road teams, I say don't play division games.
I would say plan ahead and know the rules, unlike I just did with the last question and not realizing there was two questions within one. For Survivor, you have to know which are the standalone games that count as their own week. So that's Christmas and that's Thanksgiving. Obviously, we know who normally plays on Thanksgiving. You've got the Cowboys. We've got Green Bay and Miami this year, Chicago and Detroit. And then on Christmas, you have the Chiefs and Steelers, Baltimore and Houston. So don't get too cute because Dallas takes on the Giants. That feels like a layup. I would have to save the Cowboys. Just know that those are coming down the pike and don't blow those teams too early.
Dustin Sweetelson, I still order the Sunday newspaper delivered to my house. Lame, or do you miss the old school?
I think society is de-evolving because we look at everything on our screens and read. When I know when I pick up a hard copy of anything, I can process the information better. There is something about looking at and feeling a newspaper where it's easier to read. Everything about the color contrast of the gray and the black, it just works. The smell of a newspaper just brings back memories of my childhood. My favorite youth memories of learning about sports was rotating three different newspaper sports pages with my dad and my brother eating bagels on Sunday mornings by newspapers.
I salute you, Patrick, for getting the Sunday newspaper. And if there's only one part of the Sunday newspaper that makes it worth the purchase price or the hours you're going to spend perusing and reading it, it's the Parade magazine, Patrick. Very, very underrated. 1986, they did a cover story. North Carolina was undefeated on that day. It's when they lost in Pine Bluff to Arkansas. They had a run at an undefeated year. A great expose on Dean Smith, how he couldn't quit smoking, how he felt he was still a slave because of that. And then how about that column by the world's smartest woman, Marilyn Vos Savant. Brilliant reading. Parade magazine, number one.
It's time for the question, Mike Palm. I'm opening a Sports Hall of Fame here. Tell me your first three inductees.
I think any sports betting gambling Hall of Fame starts with Billy Walters, who is considered the GOAT as a sports bettor. 37 straight years of winning, billions and billions of dollars bet in, and the first from a better side to use the computer modeling. I'm going to say Roxy Roxborough, second, who was the preeminent bookmaker in both the 1980s and 90s. He introduced the computer models from the bookmaker side, also how to update odds across thousands of books, and of course is a spokesman and statesman for the industry. And then finally, Richie Baccalieri, who is a tremendous bettor as well as a bookmaker, ran Caesars Palace. MGM was the first to introduce in-game betting at the Palms and, of course, founded Stadium Software.
Okay. Dustin, you get 45 seconds as well.
Okay, I don't need it because my answers are better. Now, one is the same, but the other two are better. Billy Walters obviously has to be in. Changed the game, the greatest bettor of all time. It's not even a debate. The networks that he had, the way he moved lines, manipulated markets, the head fakes, it's all legendary tales. Second's going to be Brent Musburger. I think you can make a strong case that nobody helped the stigma fade away when it comes to sports betting than Brent Musburger trying a very long time ago on CBS, starting there, to bring it into the lexicon of the American psyche. And then finally, we are going to put a current NFL coach into the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. John Harbaugh is the greatest preseason coach of all time. 40-20 ATS run. He has been as profitable in any situation as anyone out there. He deserves to be in the hall.
Dustin Sweetelson, will Major League Baseball in Vegas be a hit or a flop?
It's going to flop, and it's unfortunate. It's my favorite sport, and this city is growing. And I understand that everyone looks at Las Vegas differently than it was a few years ago, but I still think the core of this town is still very much in a small town mindset. And that is an issue for baseball, because if baseball is going to work, it's the locals that are going to drive it. Baseball is more popular locally than it is nationally. These individual markets support these teams, and it's not going to work like the NFL. The NFL, people come to town, they're tourists, they see their team, they get in, they get out. Baseball's a day-in, day-out grind, and things were unique with why it worked with hockey and the Golden Knights. I don't think the mentality in this town translates to baseball.
I agree that it's based on locals, and that's why it will be a flop with the A's. The better plan would have been to rotate, have Vegas be Team 31 or City 31, and rotate series of rivals that come out once a year. The Cubs and the Cardinals play a series. People will come out for that. You have to have the tourists in order to make baseball work. Have the Yankees play the Red Sox. Put that series here. The Dodgers in San Francisco. People will come to Las Vegas for an excuse and use their sports team, but it can't be based on one team that's a transplant. It won't work.
Okay, I want to have some fun from a personal level. Without sharing too much, Mike Palm, what's one vice you'd like to give up?
I'd like to stop swearing, and it's because I have children. And I get into situations at home where, because it's a part of my lexicon, more times than I want to admit, I will use profanity in front of the children. And it's really a problem. So what I need to do is get profanity out of my total language so that it doesn't seep into the home life.
Yeah, let's be real. I got a lot of options for this one. There's a lot to choose from for me when it comes to giving up vices. But the most offensive thing someone can say to me is I'm a foodie. So therefore, food would be, because my history with food is well documented, the ups and downs of my weight. I think people who see me, I could fluctuate 40 to 50 pounds in 6 months of seeing me. I'm literally going to die because of food, but I love it, and I can't stop eating it. And it has ruined my life. That is the one I would give up.
Okay. I thought this was going to be a runaway today. The Bears question was a push. COVID. Now, Dustin, you were disqualified. You didn't give a movie. Yeah. However, West Wing is a series I've always wanted to watch, and I forgot about it. So that goes to Palm. Circa, it was almost unfair because Palm essentially created it, but he won that one. The newspaper won. The parade almost got me, but I liked the rotation because I did that. The idea of passing it, so Dustin, you get that one. The Hall of Fame one, well, both answers were great. The Brent Musburger and John Harbaugh answer, so it's 2-2. Major League Baseball, similar answers, that's a push. And the vices, food and swearing, push. 11-5-3, we've got a push this week. Mike Palm leads. I didn't love the start for you, Dustin, I'm not going to lie.
I liked my Bears answer. You were so hard on
his answer. His Bears answer was equally as good. I'm saying when I asked for a movie and you just passed it off after Ted Lasso.
Yeah, that was me just not reading the whole question. I'll be fully transparent there, kind of like glossing over, doing my notes. Yeah, that's on me. I thought I was going to lose on that one alone. I thought that
Mike
was going
to
shift the balance.
Fair. It was fair.
Yeah, it was a good effort from both of you.
It was fair.
Good effort. Mike, great job, man. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
There
Thanks,
goes
fellas.
Mike Palm. You can hear him as a host here on VSiN and walking around like the king at Circa, the D, and Golden Gates. We continue Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Hunger striking. That's what we do. Dustin Sweetelson, the D, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles, quarantined remotely. With the vid, but we're good because our live bullets flying during the show going well. Just quickly, a recap, Mike Palm and Dustin Sweetelson pushed. Did you have issues today with my grading?
No, I did not think, I thought I had a couple really good. It's always like I think I have really good highs, but really low lows. And it's kind of like my betting, to be honest. It's riding those waves of when the good's happening, when the bad's happening, avoiding it at all costs. That was the issue there for me today.
I will say, here's what I will say, and then we'll move on. And I want to get to this in just a second. And then we'll move on. I will say about you, I'm going to watch Ted Lasso, not because I want to, just because you want me to so bad. So
I just
I'm going to.
I just think, look, the episodes move quickly. I think it is a very, like, if you don't feel good after watching that show, I don't know what to tell you. TV's just not for you. That's all.
Okay. We are, again, I've got COVID, and no big deal, battling. That's what we do, and been dealing with it. So I decided I was going to take a stand. If nobody else was over the past 4.5 years, I'm going to take a stand, and I'm on a hunger strike. Started yesterday. I am officially, as you can see on the graphic, 20 hours, 45 minutes into my hunger strike. Not one morsel is going to go down this gullet. My diet consists of water, Gatorade, and it's fueled by Zin. And that is happening until I get my taste back, because my taste is donezo. I'm drinking this orange Gatorade. I think Sean asked me, does it taste like anything? Tastes like water, except I can feel a little sensation of salt on my tongue, but I don't taste the salt.
You know, Zin makes beverages as well. You might want to mix those in.
Okay. Will do. Quickly on the games in action. Rockies, Diamondbacks. So we're doing well here. It's top of three, 5-0 Snakes. They continue to be hot. We've got over 9 in that ballgame, Dustin Sweetelson. And then Pirates, Padres. The Padres continue to stay hot. Looks like they got a 3-run shot off of Keller. It's 3-0 at the end of one. So we are looking good, specifically with our over 9. I don't want to bring it up, but we did give out a winner. Now, it was, when I was handicapping it earlier today, it was 3.5-1 on the 5 in race 6 at Saratoga. Ends up going off right around 2-1, so it's not a big price, but we did pick up a winner with the Christoph Clement Philly, big guy.
Yeah, don't diminish it. A win's a win. Good. I don't
well,
care.
It's kind of a prideful thing because we beat Aaron Halterman, who is one of the best handicappers on the planet. He had the one finished show on the board.
Look, I have a lot of respect for you guys who bet that sport. It is so difficult to understand the various ways you can attack things. Just finding a winner feels like a borderline impossible task. So to win a horse racing bet, I think it is a monumental victory.
The big guy's being nice today. It appears he's feeling for your boy on the hunger strike, so I do appreciate that. Saturday down south, Connor O'Gara. Dustin is going to join us coming up in the next segment. He is going to be discussing plenty, including we talked about Lane Kiffin. Oh, did you see? Sarkisian just lost another running back at Texas.
No, dude, they're not the fourth best team in the country. I don't understand this. Like, people have in their minds these brand names and just assume they reload. It's like you go to Target. You think Target has good products. Well, they end up losing this brand, but they added this brand. You think that brand's going to be good just because Target's there. People just think because a player shows up at Texas, they're going to be good. Didn't we learn anything under Mac Brown and how things went post-national championship? I just don't think that they have the pieces to reload the NFL talent that left this roster a year ago, especially when you're asking those pieces to be coached up by Steve Sarkisian. Texas is the most overrated team in the country.
Well, we can ask him about that coming up in just a few minutes. Well, let's get to the news of the day as we settle in before we get a couple of guests coming by. Of course, Scott Spreitzer, professional handicapper, coming up in a little less than 26 minutes. Scott's one of the best. He's been one of the best in the industry. This will be our first opportunity to, and I'm not going to try to make him emotional, but he was one of Dave Koken's best friends. Dave Koken, you know, back in early 2000s when I was combing through sports betting message boards, this is well before Twitter, this is well before the legalization of sports betting, when I was in South Carolina betting with an illegal book, Dave Koken provided many, along with Scott Spreitzer, provided me many a play. So we'll have an opportunity for Scott to say a few words about his friend. I can save it. I will say that if you hadn't, he probably, the page is still live. If you want perspective on life, and I don't know if this has been discussed, if you want perspective on life, and I think oftentimes it is important to gain some perspective on life, you can go to Dave Koken's Twitter. Dave Koken, for the last year and a half, and this is a person that had already beat cancer one other time, Dave Koken was aware he was dying. We all push death, and we'll get to the clips, but we all push death over there. It's inevitable, but it's not going to happen to us. It's not going to happen. It's one of those things where, of course, fittingly, we put it outside our mind. That's not something you want to focus on. This gentleman knew he was dying. And until his last breath, he was passionately and in the moment tweeting about sports and sports betting. And when I say it was almost like he told the guy that he was getting married and just won $1 million, that's how he was approaching life. So just the spirit with which he carried himself is something that I find to be enlightening and inspirational. So you may want to check out Dave Koken's Twitter.
Yeah, I concur.
Yeah, and Scott will stop by to give a few words on that, and we'll get to his plays as well, but certainly going to have that to start. So we were talking about Hassan Reddick. Again, a little bit of a dupe job. There's no movement on Ayuk and the 49ers. He's at practice today. There's two teams in the mix. Either he re-signs with the 49ers or it looks like he's going to end up with the Pittsburgh Steelers. One of the two. Hassan Reddick requested a trade. The Jets said nah. And then they went back at him and said, we're not trading Hassan Reddick on Twitter. So we have, I believe, here Rodgers and Saleh talking about it, Dustin.
Yeah, let's do Aaron Rodgers one first. Let's do that where Aaron Rodgers – well, no, we heard from Rodgers on it. Let's go to Robert Saleh one. Robert okay. Saleh asked if the Reddick situation is frustrating for him as the head coach.
It's not frustrating because I don't have control over it. But, you know, we're – like I said, we're excited about our group. Still looking forward for him to get here. When he's ready, and when he's ready, we're gonna embrace him with open arms and get ready to attack the moments that he brings to us. I'm not gonna get into that one.
Have you spoken to him?
I have.
See, Saleh's gun shy. That is a person that doesn't feel comfortable in front of the media because he's been so absolutely micromanaged by Aaron Rodgers and the organization. But the cloud of Rodgers forces you to go up there and overthink. That's just not, I mean, that guy is completely gun shy. It's going to be an interesting year for the Jets.
Well, and that plays into the next clip from Rodgers, because a few weeks ago, Saleh says Rodgers probably not going to play in preseason. Rodgers comes out and says, that's news to me. So yesterday, Aaron Rodgers met with the media and he was asked once again about possibly playing in the preseason. Here's what he said.
Preseason is not what it used to be. It's to see if young guys, once the lights go on and the pads go on and the tackling happens, if they can show up or if they don't. So what's there to gain? You know, just going out there and being back on the field in a situation where you could get hit. But the way we get after our defense today, next few days, a few times we go against them, I'm going to be worried about getting hit as well. Yeah, I'm not worried about it. Yeah, preseason, it's not real football.
Okay, and therein lies the conundrum. So that was his quote today on August 14th.
Yeah.
A week and a half ago, he was apoplectic that he wasn't going to be playing in the preseason. So just to be clear, based on Aaron Rodgers, because his head coach a week and a half ago came out and said, it doesn't look like he's going to play in the first two games and probably not all three. Rodgers came out, usurped his head coach and said, well, that's news to me. Now, you can parse it and say maybe it was news to him, but why wouldn't he just give the answer he just gave to protect his coach? That is my point, people. This is a long, long fall. Not fall, like literally, like falling. No, the fall, the season. And this team starting dysfunctional. Reddick wants to trade. Rodgers is usurping. The answer that he just gave is correct. He's 40 and a half years old. The preseason couldn't be more meaningless. Why wouldn't he support his coach? And now you've got his coach, who's a good speaker, up there trying to bumble and fumble to find his words. He's looking under the stand. He's looking over his shoulder. It's a disaster.
In life, you got to choose who you're going to go all in on. And unfortunately for Robert Saleh, he chose to go all in on a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who would just never make his life easy.
Even more unfortunate, he had nothing to do with the decision. So he was told, you're coaching this dude. Good luck. We're going to come back with our buddy, Connor O'Gara. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, professional handicapper Scott Spritzer coming up at the top of the hour as we welcome you back. Dustin Sweetelson, the D, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. As we welcome you back, we're going to welcome in Connor O'Gara, Saturday Down South senior national columnist. You can find Connor on Twitter at CJ O'Gara. Of course, we say hi to Connor. And I want to start with one of your recent headlines. Thanks for joining us. And that is, Lane Kiffin deserves all the preseason hype. A progressive guest line brings you Connor. Connor, this team is loaded. Do you have questions personally about Lane Kiffin's ability to take a loaded team and take the next step?
Sure, I do. And I think it's maybe the most underrated thing in college football, a sport that is so unique because of how long the offseason is. But in this day and age, to be able to handle 8 months of preseason expectations and then deliver, it's extremely rare. And Lane Kiffin has never started off as a top 15 and finished as one. And that's the question going into this season. I mean, he has earned Ole Miss's highest preseason ranking in the AP poll since the Tricky Dick Richard Nixon administration in 1970. So we're talking about expectations that are historic from a program perspective. And if you go back to when was the last time Lane Kiffin's had a team with this much preseason buzz? Well, it was 2012 when he was at USC, and that season ended with a loss in El Paso. And that was a preseason number one team in America. So I do think it's fair to wonder what it's going to look like when you spent big in the transfer portal. You've got those additions on the defensive line with Walter Nolan, Princely Umanmielen, and you're trying to bridge the gap between yourself and Georgia. What does it look like if you don't make the playoff? Yeah, it would be a massive disappointment.
I agree, Connor. Look, Lane has got the money flowing in there at Oxford. He's got, of course, he's got a personality. He's omnipresent on Twitter. He's a galvanizer, but we haven't necessarily seen, I guess, the results. Now, let me ask you this, and we're talking to Connor O'Gara. Georgia is plus 190 in the SEC. Let's get to them in a second. My partner Dustin believes Texas, who I believe Connor lost another running back today. He thinks they're a little overhyped this year from a talent perspective. They're your second betting favorite in the SEC at plus 320. Where are you on Texas?
I made this prediction before the CJ Baxter injury. They have since lost Christian Clark out of that backfield as well. So Texas is already down two running backs. We're not even technically to the third week in August yet. I have Texas starting 12-0. I do. And I am a believer in ways that I have never been with Texas. And why am I a believer? Well, Steve Sarkisian, the job that he did last year, nothing was a fluke. They won Big 12 games by an average of 17 points per game. This is a 13-win team. I mean, let's think about that. It is a 13-win team, or I guess a 12-2 Texas team. So a 12-win team that returned 67% of last year's production, according to Bill Connolly, the great metric he puts together. I love what they return on the offensive line, four or five starters back. Quinn Ewers took that next step last year, played his best in their biggest games. I am a believer that Texas will benefit from coordinator continuity. They continue to recruit top five classes. They continue to recruit the portal and check all of these boxes. And they have a coach with a clue. And that's probably the biggest thing and one of the biggest reasons why I have faith in Texas, despite the running back injuries, to be able to still get to the SEC championship.
Yeah, coach with a clue. Because he proved it last year. However, leading up to it, you know, underwhelming, I would say, at Wisconsin. Excuse me, at Washington, Peterson comes in and does a really good job there. Obviously, it won't get into the personal stuff at USC, but kind of proven his mettle there at Texas, Sarkisian. Alabama. So, obviously, this is going to be weird for all of us, Connor. But just help us understand from a betting perspective what kind of roster we're looking at.
I think it could still be and should be one of the best offenses in college football. I mean, everybody forgets Jalen Milroe finished higher in the Heisman Trophy voting than any returning player in college football. I mean, think about that. And you're telling me that he's going to get to work with one of the elite offensive minds in Kalen DeBoer. Yeah, I do have confidence that they're going to figure it out. It's going to take a bit. But at the same time, I mean, you return an offensive line that should be really, really good on the interior. The interior offensive line for Alabama is one of the best in all of college football, maybe the best. And you do add a couple of nice pieces in the transfer portal at the pass catcher spots that make you think, all right, well, they should have an identity. It might take a little bit. They're going to be asked to do a lot of the heavy lifting because defensively, it's just not going to be there in the ways that it has been in years past. And that's not just because they lost Caleb Downs to Ohio State, but you just don't have Nick Saban to be able to troubleshoot. And that is such a massive thing on the defensive side of the ball for what's going to be a very new era. And Kane Womack takes over a defense that I think it's fair to have a lot of questions about. I'm not as high on Malachi Moore as a lot of people are. I think you have questions at corner. I mean, Nick Saban himself said that he doesn't think Alabama is going to get to the SEC championship because of the questions he has about corner. So I look at all those things and say, well, can Alabama still go 10-2, make the college football playoff, still still have an electric offense? Yes, I think that's all on the table, even though they do have a really difficult schedule. And I think it's fair to be asking these questions. I just think that they answer more of them than leave some of them unanswered at season's end.
Leave it to Nick Saban to still be obsessing about the secondary in retirement. That's always his obsession. Connor, I'm going to make a statement, and you either agree or you can vehemently disagree. Feel free. You mentioned Kalen DeBoer. I think from an intellectual and temperament perspective, I don't know if there's a better human in this in real time right now to follow Nick Saban. I thought it was a 10 out of 10 hire.
I agree. I mean, I could probably point to a couple others and say, yeah, would I rather have Dan Lanning? Even though Kalen DeBoer owns Dan Lanning, I'm just really high on Dan Lanning and bullish about his future. Would I maybe rather have a Mike Norvell? Yeah, I think you could make that case. But, yeah, so much of this Kalen DeBoer era is going to be how he handles failure. Nick Saban is the greatest coach in the history of college football, but he's also the greatest coach that we've ever seen at handling failure. You know what Alabama is just so unbelievably good at? It's taking those disappointing seasons, which I put in air quotes, you can't see me doing that. It's taking those disappointing seasons and then bouncing back and winning an SEC championship and getting to a national championship. That's what they do year after year, and they don't have two consecutive bad years. And to me, that's going to be fascinating in this 12-team playoff era where, yeah, it's not a death sentence to have that second loss on your resume, and there will be a different understanding of what's good, what's competing for a national championship, what's not. Kalen DeBoer can benefit from that. And if you can be able to kind of work through some of that criticism of, oh my gosh, he loses to Georgia, he's not Nick Saban. If you can work through that and not get defensive and try and show that you're the smartest guy in the room, you're going to be in a better place for it. And there's a little bit more grace and a little bit more leeway for guys like Kalen DeBoer.
Connor, we know Georgia's great. They're your favorites to win the SEC and the national championship. How good is Georgia this year?
They have the fewest weaknesses of any team in college football. Even Ohio State, which has that $20 million roster, they have fewer weaknesses. And, and you know, you could probably nitpick a little bit like here and there and say, you know, I got questions what it's going to look like at corner. You still have an All-American over the top of Malachi Starks that's going to be able to help out some of those young guys. And it's still Kirby Smart coaching up defensive backs. He's had 11 of those drafted in the last 4 years, which is pretty good. And you can kind of ask, all right, well, is Carson Beck, is he as clutch as Stetson Bennett was? You know, maybe we'll kind of see how that plays out. Or how much are they going to miss Brock Bowers, Ladd McConkey? I'd actually argue they have more depth at the pass catcher spots this year than they did last year. And you kind of realize that every time you can pick something apart with Georgia, you can find a way for them to overcome that. Even the schedule. I mean, look at this. Like, they have three true road games against teams that are starting off in the top six in the country. Anybody else in college football, and we're talking about, oh my gosh, this is a gauntlet. And with Georgia, it's kind of like, so like what, 11-1? The team that's got three consecutive 12-0 starts to the season, like, oh, are they going to lose one game in the regular season this year? They have the fewest weaknesses. I am a believer that Georgia will lose that first game to Texas, get a rematch against Texas in the SEC championship, and then get a grudge match in the national championship that Georgia will win.
Boom. That's a great spot. Connor O'Gara, and you should read him. It's a tremendous site. It's called Saturday Down South. He's a senior national columnist there at CJ O'Gara on Twitter. That was awesome. Let's do it again as the season gets closer, Connor. Thank you for your time.
Love it. Appreciate it, guys.
Okay, buddy. Thank you very much. That's a good booking. I don't believe I've spoken to Connor before.
You have not. I had him on a long time ago, and he was tremendous. Just never. I screwed up last year. We should have had him on talking SEC. He's like you. I'd like to get the backstory next time. Grew up in Big Ten country, then became an SEC guy. You grew up in Michigan, went to South Carolina. He went to Indiana, covered Nebraska. Now he's down in Florida, and he's SEC through and through.
Yeah, he was – you ask him a question, he's ready to go on every team. So, Connor O'Gara, thank you. 5-0, the Diamondbacks lead a top of four. The Padres lead the Pirates 4-0, top of three. Professional handicapper Scott Spreitzer is next. Sharp Money.